Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 25, and it's October 24th, it's Monday, 2016, and I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Yes, and we're podcasting here in Houston with Ray in his place.
Yep.
It's an awesome big place, Ray. It's kind of echoing here right now. No, actually, we don't have our regular podcasting equipment here, so we're just recording with a recorder, a simple recorder right now. So it's really portable. I hope the audio comes out really good to your ears, guys. So what is Gay Geek Bizarre? So it's a show we talk about gay topics, geek stories, and bizarre shit. That's what sometimes we talk about. So, but before we do that, how was your weekend, Ray?
It's pretty good. I did some unpacking.
You took out all your books?
Well, I got all my books and a bunch of my pictures unpacked and put up and stuff like that. So, and slowly cleaning out storage so I can get rid of it. So,
mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the owners of the house are going to come back from their 48-day cruise and say, oh, by the way, we decided to sell the house. You got to get out. I know they're going to do that to me. I just know.
At some point, they'll do that, right? Yeah. So, actually, we had a nice party here last Thursday, and we watched...
Well, the party was nicer than the show we watched.
Yeah. We watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show with the new edition 2016, I guess. Sang the same songs. They sang the same songs, and they had the cast is different. And the one playing Frankenfurter is Laverne Cox.
Uh-huh.
So, what do you think... I take it you didn't like it too much.
I mean, it was okay. I mean, it was just bad timing on the commercials in some places.
Well,
especially at the end. That whole part where they go through the whole transition at the end, that should have been uninterrupted. But it was like it was getting in that people's like having these big moments in the commercial.
Yeah. So, it's not the right way to put commercials in. They should have just...
Yeah, it was a bad cut. And then there were some weird transitions that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Laverne Cox, a transsexual man playing a transsexual role. I get it.
Yes.
But I don't know. I think the boobs are too much for me.
Oh, really? It's too boobie?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, I know we bitch about stuff like people roles being changed, like Asians not playing Asian roles and stuff. And then I had a transsexual, but. The whole thing with Tim Curry was it was still that more erotic thing that he was a man and based in his feminine side. And in this role, and when Laverne Cox did it, it was like...
She's a woman.
She it was pretty much a woman. And
she's a woman, yeah.
So and they made some cheap changes on some stuff that got that I was like kind of... Like the Frankenfurter entrance and some stuff, so...
Yeah.
And the chick that played... Janet, I just did not like.
You didn't, oh, I thought you did like her.
No, I did not like Janet Weiss.
Janet Weiss. Well, what did I...
I liked the guy that played Brad. He had big areolas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny that he did have big areolas. So also, Tim Curry was there. Yeah. He was the historian or something.
Yes,
he played
the narrator.
The narrator, yeah. So at least he had a touch in that one. He had the... But then the role, to me, growing up, it's the first time I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show was in Manila. A friend of mine had a laser disc, so...
Yeah.
Back then.
Laser disc.
It was a laser disc. Oh, my God.
You so dated yourself, girl.
So I watched it there, and I remember Meatloaf was kind of a bearish guy, and I remember him, of course, playing Eddie, and rolling around and dancing, and you could see his butt crack and everything. Yeah. And I remember back then, he was a bear... And then, wow, so that's the first time I saw a bear, or pretty much, you know. So, who played Eddie?
Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert. So, to me, it didn't translate too well, though. I don't know. I didn't have a problem
with Adam Lambert.
He was really good. But
I mean, I hate the way they changed, because the whole thing was that he had frozen Eddie in deep freeze, and then all of a sudden he breaks out of deep freeze, because Frankenfurter was trying to control him.
Yeah.
But in the movie, that didn't come off.
It didn't come off as that.
So.
And I've always viewed Eddie to be a kind of a bearish, burly guy who would be coming in on a motorcycle, but well, then it was Adam Lambert.
When Adam Lambert gets older and he slows down some, he'll get fat, just like everybody else.
He did, yeah, that's true. He had pretty good sideburns, so yeah. He could be a bear. Anyway, so that's pretty much last week's events. Oh, which reminds me, last week was also Unity Day. It's a bullying awareness day. So did you wear your purple shirt?
Yeah.
I wore a purple.
I don't know, it was National Bullet. I don't think I paid attention to it.
Have you ever been bullied when you were younger? And what did you do with the bully? Did you pick him up and throw?
No, I just got bullied.
You just got bullied?
Yep.
So. You just called names?
Yeah, and pushed around, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like it?
No, not at all. I knew from an early day that I was not going to be as submissive to anybody.
Oh, okay. You didn't like it because I don't like it. I do the pushing. I do the slapping. I do the whipping.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what Ray is right now. Also, let me see. Last weekend, Mike came over, so we had a romantic dinner and everything. So it was fun. Oh, we had steak. We had steak again tonight. It's my second night that I've eaten steak.
And how did you like your steak?
Medium rare. No, we didn't eat medium rare. I did have medium rare last Saturday, but today it's kind of medium. Ray prepared it very juicily. And
my meat's always juicy.
That's right. You guys want some pictures? Okay, so let's go on with the stories, Ray, that we have.
Well, first we got to talk about Pete Burns passing.
Oh, that's right, Pete Burns.
So,
It is sad that Pete Burns. You have an article here from The Guardian. So the singer Pete Burns, who founded pop group Dead or Alive, has died of a cardiac arrest, aged 57.
Yeah, and he was transsexual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very.
Because he looks more like a woman now than he did back in the day when I was just a young child dancing to "You Spin Me Right Round, Right Around."
Yeah. So yeah, Burns rose to fame in the 1980s with the band's hit song "You Spin Me Round Like a Record, Baby." Right. He also appeared on Celebrity Big Brother in 2006. Really? Coming fifth in the final. So a statement released by his partner, so he's gay, by his partner Michael Simpson and his ex-wife Lynn Corlett and his manager and former band member Steve Coy read, "All of his family and friends are devastated by the loss of our special star. He was a true visionary, a beautiful, talented soul, and will be missed by all those who loved and appreciated everything he was and all of the wonderful memories he has left us with." So, we extend our condolences to the family and friends of Pete Burns. And I have memories of the song, of his fame back then. So it's really sad that we lost a very talented individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So...
all of the stories.
Oh, wait a second. Before we go to the stories.
Yeah.
What about the TV show last night?
What about it? One eye went that way and one eye went that way.
What do you mean you went that way, you went that way? You were pointing, nobody can hear it. Nobody can see it.
Well, if you saw the show last night, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So we did watch The Walking Dead last night.
Spoiler alert.
Well, let's just say, not one, but two died. Okay. We kind of knew. We're not going to say who died. So it's just going to be a spoiler. But if you are a follower of the comic books... that's pretty much what happened, and they're being
true to
the comic books.
To one of
them? No, both of them.
Both of them died that way?
Yeah.
I don't remember the other one dying.
The other one died because of an arrow hit, not because of Lucille, not because of the bat.
Yeah.
But they consolidated here this time.
Yeah. So. Double whammy.
So in the comic books, one was hit by a crossbow, actually. Yeah.
The Parents TV Council, whatever, I posted an article on the Gay Geek Bizarre page on Facebook. It's proclaiming that is the most disturbing images on TV and people should not be subject to that after last night's episode.
Well, that's why you have the mature audiences.
Well, yes, but they're like, even mature audiences and our cable dollars shouldn't go be paid for this stuff if we don't want to watch it and blah, blah, blah.
Let the blood and gore. Well, it is Halloween season, so... it's just...
well, it's The Walking Dead. I mean, some shows, that's why this show does so well, because they kind of take pretty much most of the bars off and let it go as far as they can go to push the envelope, so...
and one gory part is when the other one guy, when he got hit in the head, his eye was popping out, and that's exactly how it was in the comic book. His eye was popping out, trying to say something. Oh, you still want to say something? And then he was trying to say something.
I'll find you on the other side.
Yeah. So,
I'll find you.
Yeah, he was trying to mumble. He was mumbling pretty much. And he got hit some more. So, yeah, that it was pretty accurate for the comic book. So popping out.
Yet again, a bear.
No, you don't want to say anything.
A bear.
And a chaser.
And a chaser got killed on a show.
Chaser. I don't know if it was a chaser.
Our Gaijin got killed on the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you guys are going to watch it, just go ahead and go to AMC. Okay. So let's do the stories, Ray. What do we have here?
All right. On the gay. Elderly gay widower faces eviction from home of 55 years because he wasn't legally married. Now, see, shit like this just pisses me off. Because in most other states, they would be considered common law marriage. So I don't understand why that's not kicking in. But I don't know New York legal code. But
is this New York?
Yes, New York City. So
different laws.
So in the latest very depressing example of the bad things people would do for New York real estate, the New York Times reports a West Village man may lose the home he shared with his partner for 55 years. Tom Doyle was bequeathed a small apartment building by his partner, Bill Cornwell. But because they weren't legally married and Cornwall's will wasn't properly witnessed, he's having to fight an army of nieces and nephews in court. Sarah Moslin-Nair reports that Doyle was left the building in Cornwall's will when he died at 88 2 years ago. The men had lived there for 5 decades but never married. It wasn't legal for the bulk of their relationship, and by the time it was, both men were quite elderly and Cornwell was unwell. They brought 2 wedding rings, but never got around to making it official. Now, of course, that apartment building is worth several million dollars, but Cornwell mistakenly had only one person witness the signing of his will, not 2, as New York law requires. So the building legally falls to his next of kin, several nieces and nephews. One of them, Carol DeMago, suggested to the NYT that maybe Cornwell didn't really want to leave the building to his partner, and come to think of it, maybe they weren't partners at all. See, this shit. Carol DeMago, one of the nieces, says her uncle has never took the necessary steps to make sure everything went to Mr. Doyle, including not marrying him, because he did not want to. He had 50 years to put Tom's name on any of these papers, Ms. DeMago said. The will was never a valid will. Ms. DeMago suggested that perhaps these two men were just friends or great companions. Some people live in a crazy, demented world.
Oh.
Doyle is now 85 and suing the nieces and nephews in surrogates court. He was unsatisfied by their proposed solution, which to let him stay in the building for 5 more years and to give him a $250,000 from its eventual sale. A lawyer for the family, Peter Gray, also questioned the point of Doyle's lawsuit. Near reports, given the likelihood that he has a few remaining years, very nice. Cornwell was a longtime neighborhood activist in the West Village, and local papers have been writing about the situation since the spring. An attorney named Arthur Z. Schwartz penned an editorial in the West Village News calling the nieces and nephews greedy. Schwartz said he is helping Doyle assert his legal claims in courts, which include arguing that the couple were common law married in Pennsylvania, where they sometimes vacation, and where they bought their dog Bingo in 1991. I've made Tom Doyle's rightful claim to 69 Horatio Street, Schwartz wrote. It is a claim born of love and the cruel refusal of New York to recognize gay marriage for so many years. According to the property records, the handsome red brick building was built in 1905. It's surely a hot commodity, but so is waking up every morning and being able to look at yourself in the mirror, securing the knowledge that you never tried to cheat an elderly grieving widower.
Widower.
So, it's all about greed, folks. That's why you got to do the legal documents.
Yeah, that's true. See, that's the problem with some families, of course, that they know they're going to get money off of it and just... See, I think the problem also is that the family do not know the partner.
They knew the partners because she said they've been together for 50 years and she was saying, well, maybe they were just friends.
See, no, that means they did not know. They did not know about the partner.
They knew. If they're in New York City and he's a gay activist, they know.
No, it's not knowing is different from actually being a family with. If he was a family with them, or he's just the estranged uncle that he's got this boyfriend that we don't care about.
Yeah, until money's involved.
If it's that, if they did not involve them in the family matters or or in the beginning,
the family didn't want to have anything to do with him because he was gay. They disowned him.
Yeah. So
until
that's
money came involved.
So that's the problem. So that's the problem I think if you're in a gay relationship like that, or a same sex relationship, if you involve your family with you, you introduce them and you talk about them in front of them, and then when you get together, they get to know the person, yeah, and they would know. They could see that people love each other.
You also got to look at this. This is from 50 years. They've been together for 50 years. So they've been together since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that most of the family back then probably didn't accept it. So they've been estranged from the family, I bet.
Yeah,
Now money's involved and the family's going to come after them. Like if something ever happens to you, you don't think your family's going to come after your assets?
I think so. So that's why you have to protect yourself. I'm pretty much protected with will, so I'm okay with that.
Since
I'm legally married, then I'm legally married. So they can't do anything about it.
Well, they can. They can still sue to get assets.
Yeah, but then it goes both ways even if it's a straight marriage?
Yeah, it was. Well, look what happened to Anna Nicole Smith. After the billionaire died, his family came in and sued and got the money back.
Okay. So that, the only way around it, really, is that they get to know who your spouse is.
Well, they knew who she was, and they still come in and he put it in his will. They left her everything.
Again,
so
knowing is different from actually being family with. And
I still think if money's involved, family will get it. Will
because if they actually knew, if they actually have good terms with the guy, with the guy, do you think they would screw him over?
Yes, they're family and they want money.
And you okay? Yeah. So I'm a half glass full. You're half glass empty.
I'm all about the family. If you don't have all your I's dotted and T's crossed, the family will come in and screw your partner over after you're dead, mm-hmm, or if something happens.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
And I guess New York doesn't have common law marriage.
Because
they were getting out trying to put it under Pennsylvania's common law marriage.
Because they go there anyway.
So we'll see. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, for one thing, they did not think about this really, really well, I guess.
Well, they've been. But you got to understand, they're from a whole different era.
Yeah.
Where gays wasn't accepted.
That's true. That's why they did not think about it that much.
And the husband that died probably thought, well, I've been estranged from my family, and they're not. And I wrote a will out. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and they did not think about it.
That's that whole
you need
thing.
Two instead of one witness, so it became invalid. So I just think there are things like that you cannot avoid. So,
yeah.
Oh well.
That's why you have to prepare.
Yeah, that's true. You have to prepare. Okay, so what's next, Ray? Let's go to the geek.
All right, I'll take the first one, then you can do the second one.
Okay.
A while back, I think in one of our earlier episodes, we talked about transparent aluminum from Star Trek. And we were talking about it was being developed. Well, finally, Al-Anon wants pure science fiction from Star Trek is now a reality and being considered for replacement windows on the International Space Station. Check out the video on the Gay Geek Bazaar page on Facebook. So go watch the video on there talking about the clear aluminum and using it on the space station.
Okay, so the way I remember transparent aluminum, it was introduced in Star Trek for the Voyage Home.
Yep, Scotty.
Scotty? Yeah, so Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock, and then they went after that. Voyage they home. Were on the Bird of Prey. And then they went to the past of Earth. They tried to go to Earth. But then it was being destroyed. They were signaled not to go home.
Yeah, because, so they went back in time.
So they went back in time to get some humpback whales, and then
to the late 80s.
And the way to do it, Scotty had to introduce
clear aluminum,
transparent aluminum,
yeah,
and they needed it for their travel. So they were able to create transparent aluminum, and that's amazing. If we have it now in the. Do you think Scotty went from the future, went to the past? Somebody.
It might have taken him this long to figure out his chemical equation.
Yeah.
Because it's actually a ceramic.
I'm sure it is. But then it's tough.
It's tough as aluminum. And okay. Stuff. And the video is cool because they talk about how the windows are made in the space station. And because of the way they're made, they get scratched easy. Mm-hmm. So you got this great view of Earth, but then you got all these scratches on it from stuff. So.
Wait, that's the disadvantage of using
the glass that's in the space station now. That's the disadvantage.
Oh, okay. But now, if you use transparent aluminum, it's not going to scratch.
It's tougher and stronger, and it doesn't scratch as easy.
Okay. So So how do you clean it though? I hope it's the same way with you. Just we use Windex. Can you, if you're in space, can you use Windex?
If you don't think so.
You don't think?
I think it's got to be clean when it goes out, or it's not clean. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's, I thought it was a cool little video, so watch it on the Facebook page.
I'll check it out later.
All right, you can take the Settlers of Catan there.
Okay, so I only got to play Settlers of the Catan once with Ray, and it's a pretty good, interesting game. I'd like to play it again if I could remember what the rules are. So this is something more interesting because it's more space-oriented. So Settlers of Catan redesigned for space. It's stunning. That's what Gizmodo is saying. So if you've tried, if you're tired of your Settlers of Catan hexagonal tiles sliding all over the place, that's just one of countless improvements that artists Amy Wang and Fuzzy Wobble made when they created Deep Space Settlers, a new and much improved version of the beloved board game. I think I'm into this. I'll probably buy this. I like to get this. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. You can't buy Deep Space Settlers, so don't bother putting it in your Christmas list. Damn it. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it. There's already a Star Trek themed version, Star Trek V themed version of the original game that covers similar ground, but we're hoping that Mayfair Games sees the brilliance in this redesign. Deep Space Settlers extends the gameplay ideas introduced in the Seafarers expansion of the original game, where exploring other unrevealed parts of the game board are integral into the to expanding your miniature empire. But otherwise, gameplay is essentially the same, even requiring players to collect the same resources, now called space wood.
You got space wood.
Space sheep, space ore, space wheat, and space brick. This is for real.
I'm sure in Star Trek, instead of sheep, they have space they have tribbles.
Yeah, okay. They should have done that. And, it's kind of cute. Other improvements made to Deep Space Settlers, aside from a wonderful science fiction-inspired aesthetic, is the use of city playing pieces that expand vertically as they grow over time, instead of having to swap them out mid-game. An imposing robber that now completely envelops a resource it's targeting, and a board with raised edges that always stays assembled no matter how raucous your fellow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like the bandit, the robber, and the gnome one is just a little thing you sit on it. This is like a whole like force field dome that sits over the resource, so you can't even see what it is.
Oh, there's something.
So like, yeah, go check the images out on the website because it's a pretty cool looking at it. The design and stuff. Well, I like how the cities, when they start off as a space village, and then you just take another piece and it sticks onto the top of it, because so it becomes a tower. So you know it's a city versus a village.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they have this it's like a concept game right now. Nobody has it.
Well, they redesigned it so it'd be easier to use. So
okay.
Whereas, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt to put Settlers of Catan together. It kind of falls apart and it's just cardboard and kind of stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't know there was a Star Trek version, so I got to try to find that one.
Okay.
So if anybody listeners want to buy it for us for Christmas gifts, you can
That'd be nice.
You can do that for us here at Gay Geek Bazaar.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Bazaar Array. It's a sad Bazaar story. Right,
this is sad, and it's a little long, but I've cut the story way down, and I highly encourage everybody to go to the Gay Geek Bazaar page and read this story, because it was reported on BBC and not in America, which I think's kind of odd, but. When Brian Jackson's father injected his son's infant body with a syringe full of HIV-infected blood, he hoped he'd never see him grow up. Nobody ever imagined that 24 years later, he'd be facing his strapping young son in court to hear about the devastating impact of his crime. It begins when his mother and father met at a military training facility in Missouri, where they were both training as medics. They moved in together, and 5 months later, in mid-1991, his mother was pregnant. When I was first born, my father was really excited, but everything changed when he went away for Operation Desert Storm. He came back from Saudi Arabia with a completely different attitude towards me, Jackson says. Stuart began denying Jackson was his child, demanding DNA tests as proof of paternity, and became verbally and physically abusive towards Jackson's mother. When she finally left him, the couple fought bitterly over child support payments, which Stewart refused to pay. During their fights, he would make sinister threats. Jackson says, he used to say things like, your child's not going to live beyond the age of five, and when I leave you, I'm not going to leave any ties behind. Meanwhile, Stewart, who had found work as a blood tester in a laboratory, had begun secretly taking samples of infected blood to store at home, investigators later discovered. He used to joke around with his colleagues, saying, if I wanted to infect someone with one of these viruses, they'd never even know what hit them, Jackson says. By the time Jackson was 11 months old, his mother and father had all but lost contact. But when Jackson was hospitalized following an asthma attack, his mother picked up the phone. My mother called my father, let him know she assumed he'd want to know his son was sick. When she called his colleagues, they said Brian Stewart doesn't have a kid. The day Jackson was due to be discharged, Stewart paid an unexpected visit to the hospital. He wasn't a very active father, so everyone thought it was strange when he showed up, Jackson says. He sent my mom down to the cafeteria to get a drink so he could be alone with me. When the coast was clear, Stewart took out a vial of HIV-tainted blood and injected it into his son. He was hoping I would die off so he wouldn't have to pay child support, Jackson says. His mother returned to find him screaming in his father's arms. My vital signs were all out of whack because it wasn't just HIV blood he had injected me with. It was incompatible with mine. So it was some other blood type.
Oh!
The doctors were baffled. Obvious to the deadly virus now coursing through his veins, they restored his pulse, temperature, and breathing to normal and sent him home expecting him to live a full and healthy life. But in the weeks that followed, Jackson's mother saw her lively child's body begin to deteriorate before her eyes. Desperate for a diagnosis, for 4 years, she carried me to numerous doctor's appointments, begging them all to find out why I was near death, Jackson says. But none of the tests they ran gave any clue. One night after he had been checked for every disease imaginable, his pediatrician woke up from a nightmare and called the hospital to ask them to test for HIV. When the test came back, I was diagnosed with full-blown AIDS and three opportunistic infections. Age 10, he began to piece the story of his father's crime together, but it took a few more years for the magnitude of what his father had done to hit home. At first, I was very angry and bitter. I grew up watching movies where fathers cheered on their sons from the sidelines. I couldn't wrap around why my own father couldn't do that to me, he says. He just didn't try to kill me. He changed my life forever. He was responsible for the bullying. He was responsible for all the years in the hospital. He's the reasons I have to be so conscious about my health and what I do. So, and this is just bits and pieces of the article I pieced together. It's a very long article, and he's talking about what it was like to be a child and have to go to school where nobody wanted him there because he was HIV positive, and it was the 90s.
Why would everybody know, I guess?
Well, the school officials know, and then once somebody knows, shit like that leaks out because teachers have to be aware to handle it because he had, in case he got cut or something, and how to deal with it. And at the time, everybody thought you could still get HIV from sitting on a dirty toilet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, type deal. So, and I think, I just couldn't imagine a father doing this. I mean,
yeah, it's just
like,
pure evil because he just doesn't want to have any
child support.
I don't want to pay his child support. But okay, so that's actually murder. That's actually attempted.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's first degree.
Yeah, that's attempted murder. And this whole thing came about because now at age 24, his father's up for parole, so he's trying to get him to have parole to die. And this is all talking about him going to see his father at the prison and standing before the judge and telling them about his life story and what his father did to him.
What's he going to do?
To ask them not to give him parole.
Oh, okay.
So,
what if he cuts himself and then injects it to him? that could happen.
Then that's the same thing his dad did to him. It's a felony.
Yeah, it's going to be a felony because that's attempted murder too.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it was a sad story to read, but I think it's interesting reading and everybody should go check it out on the
It is bizarre in such a way page. That a father could actually do that to his kid. I mean,
following this case where the dad left his kid in the car and the kid died of heat stroke, that case that's going on now in Georgia, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of stuff happens today. But, I mean, this was back in the 80s when this happened.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he's probably, he's probably a pro-life guy. He doesn't want abortion, but then when it comes to actually taking care of the kid, then he would...
Well, I mean, he was like, well, the whole, yeah, but this whole thing was, he was fine with the kid, and then he went off to war, and it fucked him up, and he came back, and then he didn't want a kid.
Yeah. And, that's different now. Yeah. I mean,
that's a whole different story. But still, how could you treat a child like, how could you subject a child to that?
He's better off just to disappear.
I know. Just disappear. He had, and he could have been gone and just paid child support and been done with it. But he had to come back. And I'd hate to be the kid's mom, because I'm sure she blamed herself for calling him when the kid went to the hospital when he was 11 or 10. So. Mm-hmm.
Probably she would. Anyway, that's kind of a sad story. So a few sad stories today, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so upcoming, we will be in New Orleans this weekend.
Yeah.
Of course, Mike and I are going to watch Voodoo Fest, and we don't really know who's playing good. I mean, we might not even be there the whole day. We'll see. I'll have to see if it's worth to go. It's just that it's a tradition for me and Mike to go there every year. We just, every year we go to Voodoo Fest. It's always around Halloween, and we get to watch different bands. I've seen so many bands. But this year, we don't know. Even Mike doesn't know what bands we're going to watch. Hope it's something good. So maybe I'll find something good.
Yeah.
And Ray's going to come over too. So we're just going to be hanging around.
Get my purple drank on.
Oh my God. Purple drank on Bourbon Street on
purple
the
Purple drank and green boot 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So. It's pretty good though. I mean, I could handle one if I already ate. That's always good.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys. So thank you for listening. And I would like to thank Cesar for helping us with the great articles on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. Thank you, Cesar. And you can email us at show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voice message at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Call us. Leave us a voice message because we'd really like to play it on the show.
That's right. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And if you are a Bear Podcast listener and you're listening to this for the first time, the feed is now feeding off of the Bear Podcast, RSS feed. So both Bear Podcast and Gay Geek Bizarre are on Stitcher Radio. So if you're listening to both, you might be able to hear this show. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys on a Halloween special episode. I don't know if we're going to do anything special.
Oh, no, maybe we can record Sunday morning.
Probably we can do that Sunday morning, yeah, that's right.
We can do post-drunk Saturday night, early Saturday morning podcast recording.
Yeah, we can do that.
Hot mess drunk. Hashtag fucked up at Bourbon Street.
That's right. Thank you guys for listening. Catch you guys in the next show. Bye. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.